Sahana vavatu, sahanao bhunaktu, saha viryankaravavahai, tejasvinavatitamastoma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 65. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.21. The demigod said, the three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations unto time by performing our work as time dictates. The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord who alone can give us full protection. So the Lord, his energies, and then these energies themselves are still connected to the Lord. It's not that anything is independent of the Lord. Right? Everything is dependent upon the Lord. That's your principle. 6.9.22. Free from all material conceptions of existence and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations, and therefore he is steady and unattached. He's not wonderstruck by anything, because everything's his energy. So it's not going to do anything that's not him, you know, that he doesn't know about. It's not going to do something different. Does that make sense? So he'll never be amazed. We can be amazed, because it's actually not our energy at work. But he won't be amazed. So by these kind of things, by the situations, by what happens, what results are gained, that doesn't impress the Lord. But relationship and devotion, now that catches the Lord's attention. Right? That catches the Lord's attention. But these other things, no, it's not so important to him.
Can you say that only devotion can with
yes. Yeah, that's it.
Energy,
no, it means the workings of his energy will never surprise him. It's the devotion that will surprise him. Means the jnana and kriya shaktis will never impress him. Right? It's the icha shakti that then catches his attention. Means, in other words, that trying to fulfill his desire, that is what will catch his attention. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's not what's done, it's the mood in which it's done. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, we'll be impressed by what's done or the situations, because we're not actually looking at pleasing the Lord. So that only leaves us with the jnana and kriya shaktis. So we'll be impressed.
Thinking about, for example, Krishna's playing the flute and the flute starts playing by itself, and he's surprised by that. He's not surprised that it's playing, but he's surprised that it's in
the devotion in which it's playing. It doesn't mean that that environment he doesn't become impressed with, but it's not. But if he thinks about it, it's not why, what's so impressive about it. It's that they would do that to please him. That's the nice thing. Okay. The Supreme Personality of God is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. 39. Srila Vishwanath comments, the intelligent person should not surrender to anyone else. A really foolish person approaches someone else for shelter. Devatas, karma yoga, or jnana yoga. Right, they take shelter of these. The wise person does not do so. It's just like a person desiring to cross the ocean by holding a dog's tail. The dog cannot cross the ocean. What to speak of the man holding his tail? The dog, seeing the man holding his tail, will throw him off in the water, and the dog will, also will drown. However, it is not astonishing that the person who takes shelter of the Lord crosses the ocean of samsara. Thus, the Lord is described as Vishmitam, without surprises. Though it is astonishing that, without the Lord, some try to cross the ocean of samsara, it is not astonishing to cross by taking shelter of the Lord, since that ocean immediately becomes like the water in a calf's footprint. Sardarta Darshini 6.9.22. So these, the devatas themselves, karma, jnana, none of these things can actually give any benefit to the living entity. Right? They can be used in the Lord's service. Right? Because we'll say, no, but so much benefit is there, we get this or that. But what does that have to do with taking shelter of the Lord? Right? Okay, I do the yoga, it's good for the health, or by this knowledge, and you know, I'm more detached, or different things like that. But the point is it's the engagement of it in the Lord's service that makes it good. Right? Means we're detached, we feel good about it. But are we worried about if the Lord's feeling good? You know what I'm saying? Or karma, I'm getting facilities, so it's easier. But am I worried, is Krishna pleased by that? Does this make sense? So we have to make it, what we're making here is the distinction between not of engaging, whether we're engaging, how you say, it's about whether we're performing the proper duties or not, it's whether we're performing them to please Krishna. That's what Prahlad Maharaj introduced. That you have all the different varieties of religion. Right? Those that means all. Religion means understanding there's the Supreme, he has laws that govern the universe, and we're willing to follow those laws given by God. Right? That's Dharma. Right? So when you say something, we're following Dharma, that means the inherent nature of something. That means what God has given. Does that make sense? Not what we attribute to it, what we think it should be. That's why you see when people put their own attributions to things, it doesn't get anywhere. They don't get any benefit. We see is that it sounds really great, but then after a while, nothing works. And then people then take a different approach. That's why it's constantly changing. The political field's constantly changing. The social field's constantly changing. Because people attribute qualities they think it should have rather than what they actually have. And then because of that, then they have to change because it's not working. So therefore, then following the Dharma to please the Lord, that's actually the point. So it's not that, yeah, we're following the Dharma to please the Lord, it's about pleasing the Lord. Does that make sense? So the emphasis is not on the Dharma itself, but on the pleasing the Lord. Right? Otherwise, we'll be satisfied. No, I'm doing all my duties nicely. I'm a devotee, so, you know, everything's fine. But then the difficulty comes up is that actually it's progressive, but it's not actually fine because it's not coming to the point where it's how dynamic it could please the Lord if we were more focused on the mood. Yes?
So this would be the difference between Rag Sadhana and then Vaidhi Sadhana, because Vaidhi is all on the following the rules, and that's the most important. But then Raganuga is about the mood.
Yes, but within Vaidhi it can also be, it's more about the mood. And but you're following the duties very nicely. Then there's those, like you said, who are following the Vaidhi because, you know, they're doing the right thing. You know, it's more on the mode of goodness rather than pure goodness. So we have the aspect of giving up attachment to passion, ignorance, and be willing to follow Dharma. Then we have to see that Dharma is connected to Krishna, and then it's about pleasing Krishna. So basically the main difference in this context that we're saying is that the Vaidhi means we're doing because that's what the Shastra says. So we're doing following that to please Krishna. But yes, the focus will be on performing the duties nicely, but it can have a good attitude. But the rag will be better because then it's just about the mood. Does that make sense? Because you'll have the aspect that someone will be following Vaidhi. They may not come to rag in this lifetime, but thinking of Krishna at the time of death, and they'll go to Gokul, and then there they'll be functioning on the platform of rag. See, because the aspect is bhav starts, you start to see the effect from ruchi. It's like, let's say, if you have the definition is given, you have bhava or rati, that attachment to Krishna, then that is made up of so many units, you know, that you have to get together. And then when that becomes complete and whole, it becomes prema. Right? So now, if we take just one unit of bhava, and then we take a portion of that, right? That's then we're going to get ruchi. Right? And then that deepens, how you say, not let's say that, you'll get faith. You take just a portion of that, you'll get faith. But then when it gets deep, then you'll get ruchi. When it gets deeper, then you'll get asakti. And so when it's at the deepest, then you get a full unit of rati, then you're on the platform of bhava. Does that make sense? So one can have these tastes and all that, but just it may be by position one is following the Vaidhi. Vaidhi, the form of Vaidhi will always remain. Even if one's on the platform of rag, still one will be practicing and following the form of Vaidhi. That won't change like that. Maybe individually it won't be, but as far as taking part in the preaching and everything like that, taking part in the mission, one follows. Because otherwise, what would be the lifestyle of someone on rag? So if they're just absorbed so much, then they're unaware, which is fine. But if they're going to be aware of their surroundings and interact with their surroundings, then how does someone on the platform of rag act? So then that will be defined by scriptures as the Vaidhi. Because the Vaidhi is just, basically it's just the documentation of the activities that someone will perform naturally on the platform of rag. And so that's what makes the Vaidhi. Then it becomes, you know, for those then with more attachment, then there's more things added from the Vedic element and that. So that's why sometimes we see those may start to lessen or weaken as one actually is absorbed more in Krishna. Right? One doesn't care about the timeliness of things or this or that. Or, you know, you're so absorbed in the japa that it comes time for your morning Gayatri that you forget about it. But, you know, in the Vedic situation, if you're doing karma yoga, you wouldn't, you know, because that would be the main point. So the difference being is that in the Vedic system, then the serving the Lord is one part of it. There's so many parts, and that's one part. But when you're dealing with bhakti, then that's the total thing. And all the angas of the Vedic are simply in support of bhakti, rather than bhakti is an anga within the Vedic. It's the main point, and all the others are angas. Is this getting anywhere? Yeah. So you'll have that the form will look the same, the mood will change. But it's not that someone invited can't have, you know, a very nice attitude. But, yeah, it's just a matter of, because it's not a matter of sadhana that you come to rag. You can practice rag, and from that you may situate yourself and become steady. But basically the point is from ruchi on, that's just by the grace of the Lord. You know, especially bhava, that's only by Krishna's grace.
My doubt is that the mood, as we discussed previously, we get it from the parampara.
Yes.
So then, in parampara, it is said that we Srila Rupa Goswami specifically, he says that our path is raganuk sadhana.
Yes.
But on the lower levels, we don't have that taste, as you explained previously. You know,
yes.
We don't have that ruchi. It's ajata ruchi, means
yes.
Without taste.
Yes.
But still, you know, it's very important to understand that the path itself is a raga nuk sadhana.
Yes, yes.
Because for many, it's not. It's
no,
not
no.
Obvious.
They think it's a bad. It's given a bad name because people will misapply. They take up kind of like this sahajya kind of attitude, and so it'll give it a bad name. So then, anything in that category becomes bad. You know, it's just like there's a fire in the barn, so anything red is fire. You know. So, yeah, no, you know that that's what it is, but it's not that we imitate that. We practice the form, which is vital. The 64 items of sadhana bhakti, that's the same. So many take it, well, there's vaidhi bhakti, and then there's raganuga bhakti. But what's missed is that, no, it's all sadhana bhakti. The difference is that Vaidhi is that Vaidhi sadhana bhakti or raganuga sadhana bhakti. So the actual rules are the same. The point is that when there's the mood, then the form becomes is the same, but it has that much more kind of relaxed and natural flavor to it. You know, it's just like, let's say someone's a very formal person. And someone's, let's say, a very congenial person. So now, let us say on the Western, in a formal environment, they'll both meet with people, you know, shake hands, you know, the standard greetings. And there won't be any difference. But in one, you will gain the taste of that formality. The other one, you'll gain the taste of that friendliness and, you know, how approachable they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's sometimes thought that rag means I don't follow the vaidhi. But actually rag, it's actually easier to follow the vaidhi because it's so inconsequential. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say, you have a small kid and they want to open the bottle of water. It's a whole thing. You know?
Yeah.
But for an adult, it's not. Right? And so if one is so practiced at it, even without thinking about it, one can open the bottle while doing other things. But it's not that the bottle doesn't become open. So it actually means you're better at it. So the technical point is actually those in raganuga sadhana are better at vaidhi, the rules of vaidhi bhakti, than much of the time the vaidhi bhaktas are. Because for the Vaidhi Bhaktas, it's only the rules that basically define that it's devotional service. They're following the rule. They don't necessarily have a mood of devotion, but they want to develop one, so that recommendation is following these rules. So they follow the rules, and that's actually the symptom of their bhakti. But for the Raganuga Sadhaka, then the mood of pleasing the Lord is the point. So they're situated nicely there. So the rules are just how you're going to express it. You know, it's just like, let's say you have, a chef, but he's at home and there's some close friends over, and so he'll cook something. But the mood will be, he'll be talking and all very relaxed and everything like that, but what he'll be doing is very, very excellent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that they're actually technically better.
Yeah.
Like that. That's the natural form of it. You might find that somebody just takes up, you know, very early like that, but that's the Lord's grace. Generally, it's understood as they have come to that platform in previous life, and so now they're just continuing on that path, or very close to that. And that, so then they don't follow as much, then it won't be, but the mood is proper, you don't mind. Like little kids don't necessarily follow all the rules, but no one minds. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like that. So in that way it appears they can break rules, but it's only in pursuance of service to Krishna. So it's not that they break rules because it's easier for them. You know, it's just like, let's say, as a natural thing, you're in a public place, you know, especially nowadays, you don't just go up and sit down next to somebody and start talking. You know, generally you have to be a little careful, and especially if you're in the more northern countries or like that. So, but it's not that someone on that platform of Rag wouldn't be able to do that. They can come in, sit down, because it's so nice and all that, no one minds. Does that make sense? So that's breaking the rules. It's not that, oh, they don't get up in the morning, they sleep until, you know, 12, and then get up and then, you know, do Facebook for, you know, 5 hours, and then eat something and all that, and then, you know, start, you know, their day. You know, so it's not, that's not the meaning, because we take it when, not following the rules means we take it that you don't have to follow anything, do anything you like. It's all, again, up to the mind. But here it's no, it's according to the situation, what could be service could be done for Krishna. That's what they're going to do. So then what would be a normal karma yan rule, that they may or may not be following. Just like, let's say, it's time now to chant your Gayatri, and you have this opportunity to preach to this person, you know, that'll go away in 5 minutes. Right? So the Vedic person will just, well, it's not their karma, because otherwise if it was, they would have come when I could talk, but I'll do my Gayatri now. So then they'll preach to them and that, inspire them, then chant the Gayatri. That's what it means by breaking the rules. It doesn't mean that they don't do. You know? And then in that, they may just chant only the Gayatri. They don't chant all the Sandhyabandhana rites like that. So, you know, like that. That's what it means by these things. We may not do all the Petri Pujas and all these different things, and you know, that's what it's meant. So what's not understood, we think, you know, some people will claim, oh, ISKCON is also much Vaidhi, it's also... No, we're actually given technically more of a lifestyle of someone who's on the platform of Rag would practice, though we're practicing according to Vaidhi. Okay. Because those who claim that we're so institutional and so what do you call it? You know, so much caught up on the rules and that, not on the bhakti. They don't even know what rules are. They're not educated enough to make that statement. Yeah. Like that. They don't even know what they are. So that's the difficulty.
I was thinking, you know, as a personal example, is that, you know, I came to this understanding what we actually practice after, you know, like 18 or 19 years of practice, because I wasn't aware, but nobody said.
Yeah, well, because nobody says, because one, it's a matter of realization. That was the idea. That's the idea of classes and, you know, used to ghosties and association, is that then you discuss your realization. So people will focus on things that what they value and what like that. That's what's going to be focused on. That's why then it's so nice you go through the studies, and even though we may not be thinking about it, the acharyas are. Therefore, by their comments and purports and then the discussions of all these great persons, we come in contact with these points that we generally wouldn't. Like, we can see how often that these different things on how the Lord is, you know, he is everything, pervading everything, supportive everything, everything is serving him. He is the supreme. Every prayer has these in it. You know, but the significance of that, you know, it's only the acharyas will bring that out. We'll just think, okay, yeah, you know, more, he's God, and like this, but what does that mean, you know? So that, and then on top of that, he's not impressed by that. He's impressed by the devotion and that interaction. Yeah, so that's it. But think of it from another angle, is you have eternity. And then you have 18 years. So for eternity, we haven't even been interested in devotional service. We've just been in the material world thinking, how am I going to get the maximum out of this, right? And then we come in contact with devotional service, and then in only 18 years, then we start to understand some of these fundamentals of devotional service. So from that angle, then, it's pretty good.
When Lord is mentioning, I am not attracted by Brahma or Lakshmi, but I am attached to my devotees.
Right.
Basically, he is mentioning us. He is not attracted by karma and jnana.
Karma, jnana, opulence, facilities, anything that we would consider valuable. In other words, his six opulences, he's not attracted to because they're him. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that's a position. Just like, let's say you have someone who's very qualified, right? You know, has all the good attributes, born in a high-grade family, very educated, very wealthy, socially well-situated, and let's say very attractive, like that. You know, the culture, everything like that. Now, you have, we could say, two stereotypes of this form. Right? One is a person who has all this, knows it, and he's very impressed with himself. So when he sees himself in the mirror, you know, hey, you know, hey, handsome, you know, all that kind of jazz. You know? And he really, you know, lets you know he's got wealth, he's got influence, he's got knowledge. He always, any opportunity to show that he's got more, he does it. Right? Standard, typical. Then you have, it's more rare, where the person has all that, and he's humble, and he never shows that. He just deals very naturally. So we'll consider that second one higher. Yeah, so then why God, who's the highest, why wouldn't he be more like that one? So we don't understand what it means because we tend to be more like the first one. A little bit of anything and immediately, yeah. You know. So, does that make sense?
Can you speak about following the Dharma?
Following the Dharma, okay.
Yeah. So, we see that in the Samartha Brahmanas, they very well follow the rules. And
yes.
They do the Gayatri, Sandhyavandana, worship, Shaligram, everything. This has been done, the following of rules has been done for some particular benefit.
Yes.
But they have that faith, the Shraddha is there, that they will be getting it. Then why is it that that sadhana that they do will not get them to the point of bhakti?
Because they're not doing it for bhakti. Because bhakti is, as from this discussion, then you see is that it's not about the form that's used that impresses the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the attitude. Right? Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned that the smartas, they will follow very nicely all the rules. But it's already been defined. Krishna's not impressed by that.
But even the Vandi Sadhana workers are somewhat...
But why are they doing it?
They're following...
Why are they following the rules?
Trying to please Krishna.
Right. Why is the smarta following the rules?
Personal benefits.
Right. So therefore, it's not the form. That's why we... That's why there's so much, one, confusion, and also so much discussion. See, what we have here is that... Here's that rag... then the rules aren't important. So now some people will take that, I don't have to follow all these rules. But it's not what it's saying. And then we have this, the smart is following those, all these rules, but it's not the rules that's going to please Krishna. You know? Or they'll say, oh, you just follow these rules, that will be bhakti. Right? You know what I'm saying? So in any case, we come up with the thing where we like to give up authority. You like to give up following authority. You understand? So now you might have that, that smarta, even should have in general, if he's followed nicely and is just comfortable in that lifestyle when he takes up devotional service, then, of course, then it'll be easy for him to follow. But you might also have the thing is that if someone's only doing it because of the benefits, it's not that, yes, this is the lifestyle that should be done. It's more, the more element of passion is there, then taking up devotional service, they might even find it difficult to follow that same sadhana. Mm-hmm. Right? Because until they get that conviction in devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have all these delicate points that you have the form. Right? It means you have the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Right? But now depending upon what is the mood of service to Krishna, that's going to define whether you're having Gokul, you're having Mathura, you're having Dwarka, you're having Vaikuntha, Ayodhya. But the form of it's the same. Right? They're worshipping the Lord with 16 items in Vaikuntha, they're worshipping with 16 items in Braj. Does that make sense? So the mood is what makes the difference. So that's why, as Prabhu pointed out, is that rag is our method. It's about that mood, that attachment to the attachment to the attachment of Krishna. And so those that have that, that's who we're following. But it's not that the form doesn't remain the same, because the same form is followed there. Krishna gets up early in the morning. Right? You know, he does all the things. He goes to bed at the proper time at night. You know, all that is there. It's still the same thing. It's not something different. Is that okay? Yeah. So what the weakness that we'll say is the smart is the attitude's wrong. But their lifestyle we don't have any complaint about. Right? But then taking up devotional service, they don't need to change the lifestyle. So it's the change in consciousness. So for them, they don't change their lifestyle, they change the consciousness, now they're going on and nicely situated in Vaidhi Bhakti. Then with time, as they find some of these things that are recommended are not as necessary, then those things may be adjusted. Right, with time. But for someone who's not following the Vedic system, then at first it's also change the consciousness, because only in change of consciousness then you get a change in attitude. Right? The external is a manifestation of the internal. Right? So if someone has a Brahminical mentality, they're naturally going to follow a Brahminical lifestyle. So that's what it means by not changing. You work on the inside. Because if one has a Shudra mentality, then even if you change, it'll be difficult because they have a Shudra mentality. They're going to live a Shudra lifestyle. But if they take up devotional service, then their absorption in devotional service, then it's going to change. Then they won't have that problem. Does that make sense? So that's what it means, yes.
One time, Srila Prabhupada, he made a comment in Australia. He said, all my disciples, all pure devotees. Mm. And then Bhavananda Prabhu was like looking at him, and obviously he had a doubt, because he asked Srila Prabhupada, are you sure? He said, yeah, of course. And he said, but, you know, we came from a certain background, and it wasn't like, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, that is all right, but as soon as you heard the Maha Mantra, you all came and you were like very much attracted to that sound. Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, in the beginning, this is very prominent.
Yes.
And then hopefully at the end, it will be like that. Yeah. But then in between, we have to practice.
Yeah, we have to practice. We have to practice. And so if we accept the whole process, in other words, we accept that Raganuga is the main thing, then it's on the mood. Then, so then in the beginning, you just, the five main aspects of devotional service, that's the main focus.
Yeah.
Then as we, you know, there's some maturity, then if needed, then we can start to engage all the different aspects, the finer details of the 64, and also all the aspects of the Vedic culture in devotional service. To one point, There's no difference. It's because it's always used for the Lord. You don't make a distinction. It's always connected to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then as we go more and one crosses beyond the Grihastha stage, then things in the Grihastha dharmas within the Grihastha ashram that aren't so necessary anymore, those may be given up and replaced with the more direct devotional activities. Mm-hmm. You know, just as a natural course. So that's the principle, is that there's a natural flow if one understands everything. The difficulty is we don't necessarily study the technical points, and we don't study the higher aspects. You know, it means nectar of devotion, it has four parts.
Yeah.
So the first part is on the overall view of bhakti,
yeah,
including bhava bhakti and prema bhakti and raganuga bhakti. But the last three sections, which means three quarters of the book, is about, you know, bhava and prema.
Yeah.
But it's a good chance it's not really a well-studied part of the book.
Yeah. Well, that's not part of the Bhakti Shastra,
yeah,
course.
No.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's
fair. It's like, this is too over your head, so we're not going to bother.
That's what we hear.
Yeah. But at the same time, as one is supposed to progress.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. So, I mean, the Bhakti Shastra is good, but it's not that you don't progress onto higher levels, because there's another, again, three levels.
Yeah.
So one should be able to accommodate all that.
And there is an additional book on the specific rasa.
Yeah, like that. So that just gives, you know, just as Rupa Goswami gives so much, you know, more specific, examples and all that, just that gives further examples. Yeah, like that. So exclusively to...
Yeah. Like
Shurama,
you're saying, nectar of devotion is like
math.
You don't just read it, you study it, and you memorize the whole book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
the whole thing is all important.
I just wanted to ask this. The Lord is described as avismitam, without surprises. In this context, I don't exactly...
Which one? In the footnote?
In the Vishwanath...
Without surprises means he's not surprised by anything.
He's not surprised, and also it's not...
It's not surprising to others who know the Lord. So many times Prabhupada will mention, it's not surprising that, you know, Krishna does wonderful things. He's the Lord, so he's one. So of course.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are we surprised that the rich man has money? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so it's what's the surprise? Like that. But what he finds special is that's the relationship with the devotees.
I'm right? Also thinking that maybe in the context that devotees worshipping the Lord and nothing unexpected may happen, in the sense that...
But what unexpected could happen? What would you call unexpected?
Like the jiva in the material world, everything goes wrong all the time, as you mentioned. And
but that's expected.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like if you happen to go, you know, visiting a relative, you know, go upstate and go to Bellevue Clinic, would you be surprised? Should you be surprised that everybody in that clinic is crazy? You know, no, it's an insane asylum, so of course everyone's crazy. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point. I mean, this will come up more, but the point is to get used to this, because now, as we're coming in, in 10th canto, is that the idea is that we've been made the difference between what's material and spiritual, and how the Lord is how that bridge, how we can make that. Then we get there, there's the technical aspects of the flaw, why we do things like that, so that we're convinced like this. Then there's the practices, that what's recommended, we do these things and all that, the Vedas recommend it, that this is proper. But then Prahlad Maharaj is introduced as all that's being done, that's good. But you still have to know that it's beyond that, it's the bhakti, it's the devotion that pleases the Lord. And so now as we come into this, then we'll see in the 10th canto that that's the prominent aspect. Right? It's not as much the jnana, it's about the bhakti itself. But it's not that the science of bhakti isn't very nicely described. We'll find that it's very technical, but it's technical on the point of bhakti, not technical on the point of just how the sadhana works and things like that. Does that make sense? You know, what's the metaphysical? Like before this, the metaphysical was very prominent. Before that, just the standard. Then you have what's the Vedic rules? Then the metaphysical, then the transcendental. Right? Then it's within that, then what's the devotion? Because you have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So you see the stages there. So. Okay, 66. Okay. The devas are not qualified for this worship because they are supposed... Oh, wait, we're here. Jyotish Bhavaccha, Sutra 1332. Jyotishi. In the splendor, Bhavat, because of existence, Cha, and. The devatas are not qualified for this worship because they are supposed to worship the Supreme Light, the Lord. Okay, that must be...
Jaimini's
statement, yes. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra further elaborates on Jaimini Rishi's opinion of the devatas. According to him, the devatas do meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, described in the passage as the Supreme Effulgence. Therefore, they naturally do not engage in Madhu Vidya and other inferior meditations. Vyas gives his opinion in the next sutra. Purvapaksha. They are not qualified because they have a position, bhavat, of worshipping the Supreme Brahman in the form of light, Jyotishi. Shruti says, Tad Deva Jyotisham Jyotihi Jyotis Ayur Upasate. The devatas worship the Lord, the light of all lights, the essence of life. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.4.16. Though devatas and humans can both worship Brahman, the worship of the light of all lights is the particular worship of the devatas. Siddhanta. It is suggested that I should not do other types of worship. The response comes in the next sutra. Right, so first, they're just saying they don't do this meditation. Then we point out, no, but they're meditating on the Lord. Then he says, yes, they meditate on the Lord, and that's what they're supposed to meditate on, even though previously they weren't even bringing that up. But now, they can't do this inferior worship, puja, you know, things like that. You know, why they care, but they do, right? Bhagavatam verse reference.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, why is it? What he says is completely correct, you know, that
who's
Jaimini.
Yeah, but what's his purpose in saying it? What's his purpose?
What is his purpose?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, so that's why that's what you have to look at. Whenever you see that there's two things that are exactly the same, we say one's right and one's wrong, then there must be something more than just the form or the action or the result. There must be what is its purpose? What's the attitude of it? Right? So Jaimini, they want to prove that you know, they're in a, you know, special position and all that, and that the devatas themselves are not actually real. Right? And so, otherwise, then the form means there's only, basically they just want to say there's only Brahman, so the demigods don't exist. It's just the Vedic system for chanting of mantras and doing meditation so you can get to that Brahman platform. And in between, then we'll enjoy ourselves. Does that make sense?
Because initially they said that the demigods, they have the form of mantras.
The form of?
Mantra.
Yes, that's what we mean. Mm. But it was pointing out, no, they have real forms. Mm. And so they meditate on the Supreme. But they're saying, oh, but then they can't do this Madhugrata because they can't meditate on themselves since they are the ones who the meditation is for. Mm. Like that. So they're saying, yes, they can only do this higher worship of Brahman. And now everybody, they and the humans can do, but the devatas can only do Brahman worship. But the point is what was mentioned when it said what they're taking as the demigods doing Madhuvrata, Madhuvidya, is that they're seeing their position, let's say Indra, seeing his position as Indra, and his position of what he, you know, is supposed to do in connection with his service to the Lord. So that meditation on that inspires him in doing his duties better. But they're saying, no, he can't meditate upon that because he already is that, so why would he meditate on that? You know what I'm saying? So they're not actually catching the whole what's going on. They don't catch their people. Their whole point that they want to establish is that they're just mantras. And so then, even if you say, okay, the mantra is supposed to meditate on Brahman, what does that matter to you? Because if the demigod is actually a person who can do all these different things, then you're not just doing this. This is not just a formula, a recipe to get what you want. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, on this principle, we're looking at what's a recipe. Okay? Well, a recipe is just some words. Right? So it's a mantra. We follow the mantra, we get the results. I did that, so... But if we say these recipes, no, are actually personalities, then what does that mean? That means in cooking that recipe, I have to deal with the concept that is pleasing a personality. So therefore, the reason that I'm getting a good result from using the recipe is that the recipe personified is pleased. That's much more commitment than I simply follow the letter to the letter, the recipe, and therefore I deserve my result. It's just mechanical. Right? Because then if I'm worshiping them, their people, by their grace, I'm getting my material benefits. But at the same time, is they're worshiping Brahman. Their person is worshiping Brahman, the transcendence. And especially if we bring in that Brahman's a person, then what am I doing worshiping the demigods for just some mundane stuff? It's temporary. Like that. So it kind of throws a wrench in their whole approach. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's just like that. You know, it's just like you have the Bhagavad Gita personified, right? He sits in Brahma's court. So now if we just take, no, it's just a book and I just deal with the grammar and so I can reinterpret it or retranslate or put my own purport, I can do whatever I want. It's just a matter of grammar, it's just a matter of letters. Then that's so much easier. But if the book, you know, represents a person, no, this is the way it is, you can't adjust that. Then it reduces my concept of freedom. Because the material concept of freedom is not actually personal, it's impersonal. Because it's about myself, so it can't be personal. Because that, why we say that is we could say, no, but I'm a person, so it's personal. That aspect is, yes. But how we deal with everybody else is basically more generic. You know, and that's always in consideration of myself. You know what I'm saying? That's why we say the affection of the mother for the child is the closest thing to actual affection. Because there's you stretch the boundaries of the child's not necessarily nice or well-behaved or that, but the mother still deals nicely. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's considered more, because the relationship is a stronger element than just the forms. But for everybody else, then it's just the form. And for that mother, for anyone else's child, it's just the form. Yeah. You know, so it's just their own child is special. Everybody else's needs some discipline. Yes.
it not that this madhurya is a indirect process, you know, rather than the direct process, which may take.
What do you mean by direct process?
Direct process is bhakti.
Right. Yes. So the madhurya is an indirect, but we're talking about karmis. We're talking about, you know, if you took all the karmis of the world, right, suck them in a pot like that, boiled it, you know, collected the essence like that, then we'd get smartas. And then the smartas, they're following Jaimini. So he's the essence of karma. So one as in the previous point, was it? Avishmitam. One should not be surprised that the smartas are total and absolute gross materialists. Right? But they are pious in that they are interested in their gross materialism from the mode of goodness and following Shastra. So therefore you can say of all the materialists in the universe, they're the most pious. But they're just pure, unalloyed materialists. Like that. Does that make sense? That gives them their unique position. Because smarta means the rules. And that's why smarta doesn't mind being called a smarta. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, we say, those Bangladeshis, right? Like that. So, but Bangladeshis don't mind being called Bangladeshis. You know what I'm saying? So the smartas don't mind being called smartas because they are smartas. Does that make sense? Yeah. So.
The personalizing daily routes, you're saying that Paul Mom has to get what Paul wants instead of seeing it as a team, in other words, personality. I wouldn't even call it like
No, it's self-centered, but they're following the Vedas. They accept the authority of the Supreme. Supreme has made, but they have a materialistic concept of God. See, within theism, you have those with a materialistic concept and those that have a proper concept. You understand? So those who have a proper concept, then we would count those technically within the Devas. Right, but within that, they may get distracted by karma, jnana, and or not, and deem bhakti. That's where we're making the distinction here. Is that we're used to you're a devotee or you're a demon. Then we're pointing out it's because the problem comes is that there are demons who follow the same lifestyle as devotees, and there's devotees who, following that lifestyle, may not always have a devotional mentality. So then, what makes the difference? Because if you're taking it form, then where's the difference? If you're taking mentality, then where's the difference? You know, so that subtlety is what we're trying to, because we're trying to get down to it. In other words, we're discussing the second cleaning of Gundicha. Right? The first, you know, up this, you could say the six cantos is basically the first cleaning. But from the seventh canto, now we're talking about that second cleaning. The subtle and all that. Because otherwise you say, what's the need? But that's the point, is when you clean, that's it. First you get rid of all the big stuff and all this stuff like that. Then you get down to the fine parts, right? And then they're going to wash it with water, right? So that's what brings you, because of the experience in bhava, that rasa, that's what brings you to prema. That makes sense? Yeah. But the finer, that has to be gotten rid of. We will see later when we get into the panchadhyaya then how that affects. You didn't, so the example of not being purified, then we see, you know, there is an example given. So they're on the platform of bhava, they're uttamadhikaris, but they haven't, that very faint, subtle hasn't been removed yet. Therefore, they can't take part directly in Krishna's pastime. Right? So if we're getting used to the idea now, then when we get there, then we'll see exactly how it works. Is that what it is? Yeah, so that's what we're trying to be able to accommodate. You know, in other words, going from Shravana Dasa to Varna Dasa to Smarana Dasa, right? So that's necessary and that's progressive. But unless one understands what's beyond that, then one may be comfortable in just that environment. You know what I'm saying? Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Chaimini says the demigods meditate only upon the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards Amrita, the nectar of immortality. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.23, you are the one Supreme Lord, Soul, the Supreme Primeval Personality, the Absolute Truth, self-manifested, endless and beginningless. You are eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival and free from all material designations. Your happiness can never be obstructed, nor have you any connection with material contamination. Indeed, you are the instructable nectar of immortality. Right, so in other words, this is their meditation. And in one sense, we're not disagreeing with this. We're disagreeing with his purpose and his approach to it. Because he's going to use it to establish something else other than bhakti. We'll use the same thing to establish, yes, see, the demigods being devotees, the actual real point of their life is absorption in the Supreme. That should be their meditation. But the point is because being neophytes, they're going to engage all these activities in the Lord's service. So being inspired in these activities, that's the meditation upon themselves. In other words, they know what their conditioning is, and they engage it in the Lord's service. But the whole point of the conditioning is to engage it in the Lord's service. So the point is not Maruvidya, but the point is absorption in Brahman, right? That meditation on the Jyoti Shi. Does that make sense? Because that's for all of us. Right? That's what we're all trying to understand. Because the real point comes down to the divine and the demoniac nature. So the divine, that's always progressive. It's the demoniac that is obstructive. That's what gets in the way. That makes sense? Yeah, so we're always looking, where is that demoniac element, so we can remove that. And then the divine is then cultivated. Right? So divine means in connection with the Lord, demoniac means not. That's why you have a mix. Humans are a mix. They follow the Shastra, that's the divine element, but they follow it for lower purposes. That's the demoniac. Does that make sense? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.63.34. Sri Rudra said, you alone are the absolute truth, the supreme light, Brahma Param Jyotir, the mystery hidden within the verbal manifestation of the absolute. Those whose hearts are spotless can see you, for you are uncontaminated like the sky. Footnote 40. The purport adds, you are the Parabrahman, the very form of spiritual life. Right? So that's the thing is, he is the absolute, he's the mystery hidden behind the verbal manifestation. So in other words, we have the mantras, because the whole discussion is about the mantras. But he is the secret behind those mantras, the person. So he is the mantras, but he's also the person behind the mantras. Right, so then great personalities like this, Rudra, understands this.
Right. I was thinking that the guru is the same, because there's a principle of guru.
Yes.
But there's a person.
Yes.
Guru.
Yes.
And then sometimes we take, only one part.
Yes, yes.
And then it's incomplete, and the understanding is
Yes. Yeah, so it has to have both parts, because... Because Krishna is both. Krishna is Brahman, he's Paramatma, he's Bhagavan.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that there's all these. So everything has that. Just like we were talking before about the dog. The dog, then there's the dogness. That's an eternal principle. This particular dog is not. So what we like about the dog is not specifically this dog, it's the eternal elements that this dog is manifesting. So the dogness and the specific dogness, they're so cute or they're so loyal or, they slobber so much or, he bites off the guy's leg with such panache, whatever is the thing that attracts us to our dog, right? So, but all those are eternal principles of the Lord. The dead matter is taking that form, those principles are manifesting through. But, so we can look at it like that, just only, then that detaches us from But when we're trying to attach to Krishna, then it's the personal element. That everybody's servant of the Lord, everybody like this and that, we take it across to that side. So there is still that generic aspect, and then there's the individual, because they take part in that, they get that particular personal benefit. So you have both, the element from tattva and the element from the personal. So like you said, you have to balance those. So at what point you look at one, what point you look at the other.
Yeah, because for us, most everybody, we have guru as the principal.
Yes.
But in terms of personal relationship, it's very undeveloped.
That's fair. But that's not necessarily from the point of, how do you say, just association. It's not that if we were with him more, it would develop more. It might not.
It's not a direct connection there.
No, it's more of, do we understand the principle of personal? Then even it's a short connection. It's like, how much time did Prabhupada spend with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Right? It's not that much. You know, there's that first time, you know, there's that last time at Radhakund, like that, and I'm not sure if there wasn't something in between, initiation in between. So if you put that all together, it's not going to, it'll add up to a few hours.
Yeah.
But the personal relationship between them is very deep because of seeing it from the personal. He represents the Supreme, but he's that person who is taking that effort to represent the Supreme. Therefore, there's some, that aspect is given. Right? It means the guru represents, okay, let's say, you know, let's go back, turn the clock back, you know, back to the 80s, okay? So the person is representing the sampradaya. You're connecting to them, following the instructions, and you're progressing in your spiritual life. Now, some problem comes up. They're not necessarily in a position to function as the spiritual master. So then for some, just, well, he never was, this and that, because unless it's absolute truth, never was absolute truth, this, that, blah, that kind of thing, and so throw out everything, start from scratch, right? Then, or you have those who, you know, how you say, just sentimental, connected to the personality, so the personality is off the wall, and so therefore now you start doing all the off-the-wall stuff, you know? So the difficulty is here is that one has one understanding but not the other. But the point is yes, as representing the Lord, they were representing all these years, so that representation is real, it's eternal. So all the benefit I got during that time still is there. That's why it's not that when they went away that I just suddenly became a new bhakta again or don't even have faith and I'm, you know, what's going on here, you know, like that. And I have to start all over. No, we continue because we are connected with the Absolute through that instructions and that. At the same time, and at the same time, it's now, but they are not unable, they are not representing that position anymore. Therefore, I can't take further direction from them. Right? At the same time, then being a person, they made that effort, you know, so I have that personal debt to them. And so I am grateful for that they put in that effort to function in that capacity and put in that effort. So even though they're not functioning in that way and I'm not regarding them as a, you know, a dynamic, in the position of the dynamic spiritual master, maybe past instructions are good, but present, no. But I wish them well on whatever, you know, direction they want to go with their life. And therefore then I can connect myself with others who then can carry on that representation of the parampara. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That one simple point solves all the difficulties of reinitiation, falling down gurus, this and that. It's just you have to know that point. But because it's either approached from tattva or as the person and not as actual the full philosophy, you know, it's either exclusive, you know, monism or extreme dvaitism. It's never that proper balance of a chintaveda-veda tattva. Because otherwise, it's just you need to explain it nicely. People may have to hear it a few times too. absorb it and remember it. But that one principle is there. And I've seen it. Those places, this was exactly explained nicely. They all went on very nicely and there was no difficulty. The services all went on. Everything went just normal. You know, you feel bad, loss of the relationship, this and that. That's of course going to be there because that's the personal side. But as far as the other aspects, then everything went on. But zones that wouldn't catch this, they would take one extreme. Oh, they were never, oh, no, what about? And, you know, all this kind of jazz. Then those zones had so much difficulty. And then they blame it on them. Oh, they fell down, this is not. It's like, you know, it's just like, let's say you have the, you know, whatever it is, you know, the 11-year-old girl, right? Her father dies, right? Or the wife, and then the husband dies. Now, the tendency is to blame the person. They're wrong. Why did you die? You know, like that. Why did you die and leave me here? It's your fault. You know what I'm saying? So that's the principle that we're dealing with. Is that then it's their fault, and that's why then you don't want to have people too prominent, because then if they go away, it creates so much trouble. It's no, if you know the philosophy, it doesn't create any trouble. But you don't know the philosophy, yes, you're in for a whole heap of trouble.
Because many see reinitiation as a effort to reestablish personal, because they've
lost, you can.
It, and then it's,
but it's only important to the neophytes.
Yes.
Madhyamas is not important. But the problem is all the reaction against the gurus was done by the neophytes or by the madhyamas. So when you try to apply neophyte considerations to madhyamas, they don't take to it very kindly. So then the madhyamas bring down the whole system. So that's the whole point. It has to be understood what's there. Because the Vaishnava, the Vedic philosophy, the Gaudiya philosophy, all the Vaishnava, it's all perfect. It speaks to all three levels. The same purport. Then the neophyte gets what he needs, or the Madhyama gets what he needs, and the Uttama gets what he needs. Everybody gets from the same purport. It's like Prithu Maharaj and the earth. Everybody milks the earth and gets exactly what they need. So that's the whole point, is that the Vedic literature is there for everybody. It works, it's seamless. So that's why there's one form, but because of the mood, the approach, there's something slightly different that's taken. So that aspect is that then there's no problem. Then you don't have all these difficulties of who's in charge and who's this and that, because they're all part of the same process. You know, it's like arguing over whether the pan is the main one or the spoon's the main one. You know, they go together. And if it's, you know, we're not into these spoons and all that, and so then you're just going to sit there and how are you going to stir the stuff? Because if you were good enough to know how the chefs stir it, you wouldn't make the comment about the spoon in the first place. So that means you don't know. And there's a good chance you weren't a Boy Scout, so you don't know that if it sticks, you just take the pan and whack it on the wall, or, you know, or on the, you know, if you're sitting on the floor on the what do you call it? The gas bottle?
Yeah.
You know, you're cooking the, what do you call it? The pancake or something, it sticks a little bit. Just hold it by the handle and whack it on there, and it'll get loose, and then you flip it. You know, so, yeah, but the point is then you have knowledge, so then you wouldn't have a problem with that. You may prefer to do it like this, it's fun, you know, but it's not there. And then there's the one, it's only the spoon, and so now they're going to cook in the spoon? You know, what are you going to get? You know, it's like, how much subject can you put in one spoon? Put the chaunce in there, put in the, you know, one piece of cauliflower, you know, like this. You know, you know, so then it's a problem. So it's the complete whole thing. That's when that's there, then it becomes very easy. So we see is that the philosophy already explains all this, and from this technical point of philosophy, then it's so easy to understand that principle of guru and the relationship with disciple and all that. So we see when the acharyas deal with this, it's dealt with in a very sober fashion, but the explanations are very short and to the point, and they don't take up much space. Because the main thing is understanding, to be able to tell the difference between what's bhakti and what's the form that bhakti uses. In other words, what's eternal religion and what's religion? and what's non-religion. So that is the big understanding, because if you catch that, you know, it's like if you understand quantum, you'll definitely understand 2 plus 2 is 4. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing, is that when you understand the greater, these smaller points, these are applications, these are, you know, of the principle. So then the relationship can develop very nicely, because you see what they're doing, how they're applying themselves. So it can develop just by contemplating what the person is doing and what they're involved in, rather than even being with them. So it's not that, oh, unless I'm personally with, I, you know, how will that relation? No, it's that contemplating the instruction, the effort that is being put in, what they do, like that. That itself develops. Then if you have personal relationship, that'll enhance even more. But it's not that personally being around necessarily makes it any better, because some people are around and then they don't like what they, like that. I think the other day, in one devotee was giving class, and he said after the class, and they asked, the question was asked about, you know, all these senior devotees and, you know, demanding all these things and this and that, and, you know, isn't this mundane, isn't this sense gratification, isn't, you know, this. So they couldn't make any distinction between what's going on and that, and in reality, do they demand, or, you know, it's just they had their idea. So from their observation, this is what was there. And so then they can't function. They can't actually progress. So because they're not using what the Shastra, they're not putting the focus on there. They're putting it on Pratyaksha, what they're gaining from the senses. So they're not starting from Shabda, and then from there, then going down. Is that right? Yeah, so it's a very... You have this bigger understanding of the philosophy than these are... Because if you understand Krishna, why you can't understand Guru? Guru's representing Krishna, so therefore then... So in the same way, Krishna is the material elements, but at the same time he's beyond. The spiritual master is here dealing with whatever we're doing here, but at the same time there's beyond.
So... I guess the difficulty is that the final difficulty is that dealing with Krishna, in one sense, is easier because he is an absolute, but Guru not necessarily. As a principle, he is, but as a person...
No, but the point is what's the main point of the spiritual master?
Bring you.
Yes, but I'm saying, but how? How does he do that?
Through the instructions.
Yes, so if the instructions are absolute, then you don't worry as much about the other things. When what they're doing gets in the way of their instruction, then that's where the problem comes up. So that means if there's something happens, then that's not so much of a problem. As long as that maintenance and that instruction and that endeavor for that position is continued. So that's why you'll see is that, say, there may be... At least before, devotees, they were there, then they went away, they come back, they just continued where they left off. It wasn't, so you can't continue doing nonsense, but the point is you give up doing nonsense and you're considered in the same position as you were before doing the nonsense. You don't add in this eternal damnation thing. Like that. So that's the principle, is that we're able to deal on how they're situated, not what they've done. Because if you want to get into what they've done, is then, are we going to let anybody off for meat eating? Because according to Manu, it lasts for 2.5 generations. Nothing else does. That one does. So how is it we're so easily letting off all these devotees on that one? Why aren't we always bringing that one up? Why are they bringing up that they, you know, when he was back in, you know, 1978, then he did this as a temple president and tossed this devotee out, and now he can't be a nice guy. It's like, you know, it's almost 40 years later. You know, the chanting process doesn't have any effect. Why are we still holding on to that? Do we see that now? He's throwing people out of his temple now? You know, no. So therefore then, why do we hold on to the past other than our attachment to ignorance? Like, that's going to be the problem. You know? And then at the same time, we're talking about if we, you know, arrange like this and we have these kind of things in place, then everything will be fabulous, so that's motive passion. But the point is, what's happening in the present? How are they behaving in the present? That's how you judge. Now, if he's still tossing people out of his temple in a way that's judged by the community to be improper, you know, by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then you may say, okay, there's a case for why isn't this guy improving? Or if you find everything else is improving, this is the only one that's left, then okay, then let someone else deal with, you know, who stays in the temple or not, and he deals with everything else that he's, you know, coming along very nicely. So this ability also to personally make distinction that they're doing, because what we're doing is we're looking at the personal and then applying the absolute. So if there's one thing wrong, we throw out everything. You know, so the Hollywood view, social view of the world, right? You know? So that's the whole point, is that no, there's areas that you know, yeah. So the principle of authority always applies. It's just a matter of then, you know. Okay. Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda.